Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you here for this memorial service. And on behalf of the family, we thank all of you for taking the time to join with us as we celebrate the life of our brother, Bob Dougherty. Could we begin by singing hymn number 303? It's in your bulletin at the top. The first line says, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean." Number 303. If we can stand, please. To call our brother Ken to come up and open the service with prayer.
On behalf of the Christians that gather here, our sincere condolences to our sister Grace and her lovely family. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we would gather in this place in thy Son's name, and we seek thy face for blessing. Our Father, we have come in remembrance and in a time to honor the memory of our brother Bob, who is thy child, who is in thy presence even as we speak. Our Father, before we would honor Bob, we would honor Bob's Savior. We would honor Bob's Lord And we thank our Lord Jesus for dying on the cross for our sins and for being raised again the third day. Our Father, we are reminded at such times as this, as the natural order of things, that there is a time to be born and that there is a time to die. But we thank our God that in Bob's life there was also a time to be saved, that he trusted, his confidence departed from himself, and his confidence found its resting place on the Savior, his personal Savior. Our Father, we thank thee for the words of our Lord Jesus Christ: whosoever believes on the Son has everlasting life. And again, the scriptures would say, every knee to him shall bow. Our Father, at such a time as this, we are social people. Father, we gather for weddings, and we gather for baby showers, and we rejoice and have joy in the rejoicing together. But Father, it's also important at times that we understand that this is a celebration of life, but we also understand that there is grief and there is sorrow for a loved one has been taken away. And yet we do not sorrow as the world sorrows, for we know that there shall be, for those that believe on Jesus, there is a tremendous reunion coming. Father, we commit the hymns, the scripture readings, the tribute, the ministry of thy holy word, everything from beginning to end, that it would be unto the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give Stephen liberty. Give Brother Les liberty in the remembrance. In our Lord Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ken. We're going to have our first scripture reading. Rufus is going to come and read the scripture passage.
If you can turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and he withereth. For we are as consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy truth, in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it.
Thank you, Rufus. We can sing our next hymn. It's Be Thou My Vision. It's on your handout. It's the bottom hymn. It's a good Irish hymn. Was it Ryan's favorite? Yeah, it's a lovely tune. So if we could stand, please, and we'll sing Be Thou My Vision. Our next scripture reading is going to be read by Jasper, and it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is written, "For we know that in our earthly house this tent is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we, who are in this tent, groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the thing done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Amen.
Thank you. Our next hymn is on the back of your bulletin. "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me," number 498. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're having Stephen is going to come up and offer a tribute to his father.
Oh, thank you, everyone, for coming, sharing this day together. I'm just speaking from the heart here, and I didn't prepare anything, and I think that's the way it should be. Speak a little bit about my father and Mark as well here to reference some points in our lives and the effect and seeds that my father planted with us that we feel have grown into how we live our lives today. So I think we did some nice trips when we were growing up. We had some adventures together. He really enjoyed military history, which has been something that Mark and I are very involved in and have a passion for. He loved his music. He loved to play at the folk festival. He always had a guitar. He would disappear a little bit, you know, into his safe space, so to speak. And I find myself doing that today, and I'm sure Mark does too. Loved the Beatles. Loved them. It was a long and winding road. Was one of his favorite songs. I wish I could play it because it is so fitting today. But look it up if you haven't heard it before. It's a beautiful song. While My Guitar Gently Weeps is another one of his favorites. And a little bit harder on the side, which would be Get Back. He liked that one because it gets you moving. So fast forwarding, I think that, over later on in his life with us, we had short encounters, but always knew that we loved one another and we could just be ourselves. I specifically liked to have those moments with him and, living our lives, going our own direction, but also just having the sanctity of sitting in one's company and enjoying each other for who we are. So I did appreciate that. And I know that Mark, he wrote some very nice words that I presented in Bolivia. We were lucky enough to be able to go down there and really see the work and the lives that were changed. Feel that, even though the language barrier was difficult, technology helped out a little bit to translate and to get around those corners, but you know, the English and the teaching and the little community there and the life that he lived that, we weren't really aware of. So that was beautiful and also, hard as well. A lot of tears. I feel like I've shed and had my time to mourn there for that week. So that was really, really appreciate that time. So I know that Mark wanted to reference a couple things, his love of trains and going to Frankenmuth and having those trips with my dad, painting, he painted for a long time, residential painting. I think we all got dragged into the, come help me out with this. And I did it as well. And I know Mark's paints as well. And, I'll always think of him and the solitude of painting. Some people can't get around it, and you either love it or you hate it. So we had some good times there. We've worked together. We've laughed together. We've shared music together. We've cried together. He will be missed. And I'll never forget him. And I know he's touched a lot of lives. and he's done a lot of good work. And I think carrying that means more than anything, and sharing that love and his love with our families and the people that know him the best lives on with each of us. Thank you, Dad. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. And now Brother Les is going to come and just share a few moments from the Word of God.
It's so nice to see everyone here to remember Bob. Lots of memories with Bob. We're so appreciative of him and the work that he's done. Grace gave me this little piece of music out of Bob's Bible. And Bob has carried this around a long time in his Bible. I played it a while ago. It's yellow from age. But Bob loved this. Let me read just the verses to you. There'll be light in the sky from the palace on high when I come to the end of the road. Sweet relief from all care will be waiting me there when I come to the end of the road. Every long mile I'll recount with a smile when I come to the end of the road. And the foes that beset, God will make me forget when I come to the end of the road. Just a gate open wide and a friend by my side when I come to the end of the road. That is all that I ask as a crown for my task when I come to the end of the road. When the long day is ended, the journey is o'er, I shall enter this blessed abode. For the Savior I love will be waiting for me when I come to the end of my road. Isn't that beautiful? And that's a song that was on Bob's heart. All these years he carried that in his Bible. Grace gave to me this on Sunday, and it's absolutely beautiful. Just a few words of thanks, first of all. Bob passed away on the 8th down in Bolivia. We're sure and praying very much prayer going up that Bob would recover, but the Lord had different plans for Bob. And MSC contacted me and wanted to know if anyone from our assembly was going down, and we said, I don't think we can. So his name was Conrad Lechtel, and he and his wife went down to the memorial on the 10th of last week. And we're so thankful for that, and that Steve and Liz were able to go down. That was so good for Grace. It was at the Lord's hand that Grace was down there at this time. It could have been otherwise. It could have been so much more difficult. The Lord has his way, and the Lord does these things. We're so thankful that he does. Bob went down to Bolivia in 2013. By the way, my name is Les Dewey, for those who don't know me, and I'm an elder here at the chapel, an elder of the elders, so just so you know who I am. Bob went down to Bolivia in 2013 with Gary McBride and a number of other people, some may be here today, for a mission trip for about 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it was. It was a while, just test out the mission field to help out where they could. And wouldn't you know it, Bob fell in love with the place. So in 2014, and I'm sure there was a lot of discussion between Bob and Grace over this, 2014 he packed his bags. And Bob has spent nearly 12 years down in Bolivia. What a man he was. We always like Bob here because we needed something painted. It got painted. Yes, we said here. Actually, the last thing Bob did last year when he was here, the front steps out there, cement steps, Bob filled in all the cracks with cement, and he painted them for us and never said a word. But all you had to do is stick your head out the door and say, Bob, because we know who would do the painting. It was Bob who did that painting for us. So Bob went down, and down in Bolivia, Bob was very concerned about the assemblies down there, about correct doctrine, about the eldership, leadership within the assemblies, the style of life that some of the people professing to be Christians that were living, the need for places for the believers to meet for worship. Bob spent a lot of time ministering and teaching the Word of God. He taught English down there as well. And then he began either renovating an assembly hall or building them from the ground up. In fact, the last one, I think, Satellite, it's called. I think the believers were so excited about it when the floor wasn't finished and it was still all sand, they met anyway. But a beautiful building, so Bob helped oversee the construction of it. So the believers had a place to gather for the Lord's Supper, worship, and the ministry and teaching of the Word of God. And Bob did a lot of ministry and teaching down there. So we're very thankful for that. Also in our remembrance this morning, we want to think of Ryan. Ryan passed away. Well, Ryan disappeared in 2020. He was never found, never saw, seen again. There was never a memorial service for Ryan. He used to come here once in a while. I'd give him a ride here, or somebody else would give him a ride there. And it was always nice to have Ryan with us, but he disappeared. And this was heavy, heavy for Bob and Grace and the family to lose Ryan like that and never know where he was and still don't. So just remember Ryan somewhat today for that. We read, you know, I was thinking that in Acts chapter 20, when Paul was nearing the end of his ministry, he was in Ephesus, and the saints from the assembly there walked him down to the shore. He was leaving. And he said, "This is the last time you're going to see my face." And they wept on him and kissed him and hugged him. They wouldn't see the Apostle Paul again. And I'm very sure, and I understand that when Bob went and they had a memorial service down there, there were tears. They wouldn't see Bob's face again. But Bob's imprint is very, very much implanted upon all of the assemblies down in Bolivia that he ministered in. Very, very much so. His hand is upon them. And we always enjoyed it when Bob came home for a while. He'd stand in this pulpit, and he would always introduce himself and his ministry in Spanish for us. So we said, okay, and I'll try that again. And he would come back in English, so we were always happy that he just loved to show. That was one advantage Bob had going down there, that he knew Spanish. And as he was down there, his Spanish improved incredibly well. So he could minister, teach the Word of God in the Spanish language. So that was really, really a wonderful thing. Looking back at the portion of Scripture we read Psalm number 90, that's a psalm of Moses. Moses wrote that. You know, when you think of someone like Moses, you say, what kind of a man was Moses? Well, you look into his psalm, and you see what a deep-seated love he had for the Lord and what knowledge he had and insight into spiritual truth and understanding. But one thing he did say is that we spend our years as a tale that is told. You know, I was young once. I looked at Bob and Grace's pictures on the overhead when I came in and said, I didn't know they were young once. But they were, and they were a beautiful couple. And our time passes very quickly, doesn't it? Those of us who are older look back on our path of life and say, yes, great-grandparents or grandparents or whatever. And then Moses said, the days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, that's 80, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow for soon cut off and we fly away. God allotted us 70. Bob was 75, 2 days short of 75. His birthday was on the 10th, and that's the day they had the memorial service for Bob. And it was a beautiful service. I know it was. And we have to think of the length of our own life. We have to look at what happens and see that this is the end of all. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But think of the power of the Lord Jesus. Paul served the Lord Jesus with all his heart. That was what he woke up in the morning for. And when he went to bed at night, that's all he thought about. That was on his heart all the time. Think of life from the dead. The Lord Jesus, who was God incarnate, walked this earth. And he had the ability to raise people from the dead. There was a man named... got myself right here, as a widow. She was coming out of the town of Nain. She's a widow, and she had one son, and they were carrying her one son out of the town to the gravesite on a stretcher. Jesus saw it. He happened to be there. He came up beside them, and they stopped the stretcher, and all the people all stopped. And Jesus reached over to that young man. I say unto thee, arise. The young man sat up and spoke. This is the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his natural life back. We know that was his natural life he had back, because I don't know anyone today who's 2,000 years old. So he lived and he died again. But the Lord Jesus raised him. Then there's a little girl, and her father's name was Jairus, one of the workers in the synagogue. And his daughter was 12 years old, and she was dying. And of course, Jairus had heard of the work of the Lord Jesus, and he went to find him. And he asked the Lord to come with him. And he came, and as they were approaching Jairus' house, one of the servants came out and said, "Sir, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master anymore." But Jesus said, "Have faith, only believe." They went into the house, and it was full of mourners, and he told them the child is not dead, but is sleeping. They laughed him to scorn because they knew she was physically dead. But Jesus went into that room where she lay and said, "Maid, arise." And the little girl was up, and she walked and lived again and lived her life again. Then there was a man named Lazarus. Jesus was at a distance away when he got the news that Lazarus was very sick. And would Lazarus please come and heal this man? And he waited on purpose. He waited 4 days. And when he got to Bethany, where Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, and Lazarus had lived, they were weeping because Lazarus had passed away. That was Jesus' intention, that he would wait until Lazarus passed away. The whole crowd followed him out, just to shortcut the story, to the gravesite. The stone was there. And he told them, "Roll the stone away." And they said, "But Lord, the body stinks by now. We shouldn't do that." But he implored them to roll the stone away. And with a loud voice, after a prayer to his heavenly Father, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And this dead man rose, came out of the tomb with his grave clothes on. He said, "Take his grave clothes off of him," and he lived again. He lived again. So we have three who the Lord Jesus brought back from death. And they lived their life until they were maybe 80 years or more. Who knows? But they lived again. I'm very sure that those three trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior after all of that. But then there's one more man that rose from the dead, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, "I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again." Who else could do that? You see, when the Lord Jesus went to the cross bearing our load of sin, no one could take his life. No one had the power to take his life. When the moment came, the price was paid in full for our sins, then and only then did he dismiss his spirit. But as God, he had power to bring us himself back out of that grave. "I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it back up again." But there's a difference in the resurrection of this man. The other three we talked about rose from the dead. They lived their life 80 years, whatever they lived, and they died again. This man rose from the dead to die no more. He was what we call the first fruits from death, the first man to rise from the grave to everlasting life. He would never die again. Then he opens the flood doors of grace to us. Opens the flood doors of grace to us. It's by faith in Jesus Christ alone, by faith in him alone, that we have the same life that he had. Yes, our bodies will go down. If we look over at again at the 2 Corinthians 5 that was read this morning, we say, "Where is Bob now? Where?" Well, we find out from this verse, these verses in chapter 5, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." I love the Lord. I've trusted him a long time, but I'm not with him. We're told in Ephesians that we're seated with Christ, or seated in Christ in heavenly places, but physically we're still here to serve him. But one day, when this old tabernacle, this tent, this house that I live in, goes down into the earth, it goes on to say, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Our soul, the soul of those who are trusting Jesus Christ, are taken home to be with him. The soul of those who have never trusted Christ have lost out on the greatest gift that God has ever offered, ever offered. We're looking on in 1st Epistle of John, chapter 5, we begin to see that Christian faith is very, very exclusive. Christian faith is exclusive. God says, there is one door into my heaven, and if you haven't found it, you won't be there. Jesus Christ is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Jesus told Nicodemus that back in John chapter 3. Nicodemus couldn't get it. You must be born again. What do you mean? Do we have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, you're a leader of Israel. You don't understand these things. You have to have life from above. Life from above. And that life from above comes through Jesus Christ. He is our life. He is our creator. He is our savior, our redeemer. And one day we'll be the judge of the saved believers and the judge of those who are not saved. He's the judge in the end times. Going on in 1 John chapter 5, John says this of Jesus. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself, that's his Holy Spirit indwelling us. He witnesses to us that we are his. He that believeth not God has made God a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And here's the gospel, one verse. I call it the gospel in a nutshell. He that has the Son of God has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. It's so easy. You know, we talk about eternal life. That means to live forever without these ailing, failing bodies, without sin, without a world full of corruption and wars and violence. And so many reject the message of the gospel and say, I'll take my chances. I'm a good person. Bob taught this message. Bob taught this message very clearly, very many times throughout his life. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. And when we trust him, what we have is life from above. And that life from above is the only entrance we have into the kingdom of heaven. May these thoughts be a blessing and encouragement to our hearts this morning.
Thank you, Les. Now we're going to sing the hymn. It's the third hymn in the bulletin on the back page. In our hymn book, it's number 498, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
we're going to close in prayer, and I'm just going to ask Brad to come forward, and then we'll have one or two announcements after that.
Okay. Shall we pray? Our Father, we just thank you for this day where we can come together to pay tribute to and remember Bob. And Father, we just thank you that we do have that knowledge that he indeed did put his trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and was saved through him and is indeed in your presence even today. But Father, we also think of the life that he lived in service to his Lord. We see the passion with which he followed the way that you gave to him, and that he wholeheartedly worked long days, long hours, long years in Bolivia, and it wasn't always easy. It wasn't always even pleasurable, but Father, he was so dedicated to your work down there, and that the Christians there would be built up, and that your son's name would be glorified in that place. And Father, we thank you for this. Father, we ask you that we even might learn from his example, that we might also, in the way that you have gifted us, in the places you have placed us, and the influences you have given us, that we might follow as passionately your road for us, as Bob did the road you prepared for him. And Father, we just thank you for that example that he has given us. Father, we also think of the family at this time and those who mourn Bob's passing. We ask you to be a comfort to each one. Father, we pray that we would be a comfort to each other as we each feel that sense of loss. But Father, we do so knowing the victory that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for this time of remembrance. We thank you for the time of fellowship downstairs to follow, Lord. We thank you for the food and the refreshments that have been prepared and provided. We thank you for those who prepared them. And we ask you to bless that to us as well. We thank you in all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.
As Brad mentioned, there's a reception downstairs. So I would ask that when you leave the auditorium, if you could let the family go first, then you can follow afterwards.
Can we see that clip one more time?
Well, everything's disconnected.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We can put it.
The Lord is really moving me to share our word.
Okay.
I know it's really unusual, but he's probably in tears. May I?
Yeah.
Song. My name's Kevin McGarrity. I used to attend here years ago. Bob and Grace would sit over here, and I would sit at the back. And in the Lord's service, the Holy Spirit would move people to get up and share a word of the Lord. I don't remember exactly when, but many years ago now, probably 20 years ago, Bob got up and shared Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 22, if you want to follow in your Bibles. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And he, that being Jesus, came to Bethsaida, and they brought to him a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and he said, "I see men like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he restored and saw everyone clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor anyone in the town." Basically, don't tell anybody. Bob got up one Sunday 20 years ago and shared this verse, and he planted a seed within me. It wasn't a gospel message. It was a spiritual maturity message. He said, Bob said, paraphrasing, Jesus doesn't do anything imperfectly. He didn't heal this man once and do it incorrectly and then heal him again. He was teaching us something. And the thing that he saw when he opened his eyes was Peter, James, and John, men like trees, walking, mature men. You see, we're to be seeds. The gospel is the seed that goes into the ground, and the Lord uses conviction to plow our hearts of sin and to take pride away so that the seed of the gospel has a heart that it can plant into. But that seed, as you heard from Brother Les, grows into new life, and it sprouts up. But you see, a sapling has no fruit. That tree has to grow. It must mature. Only mature trees can you go to and have fruit. And Bob shared this. He said, the Lord was teaching us that spiritually mature men are trees that are rooted and grounded in doctrine and rooted and grounded in love, and they grow up to have fruit. Well, this message that Bob shared with me before he went to Bolivia, before the Lord told him near the end of his life what his mission was for him to be fruitful, even at old age, probably older than I was, he took off and went to Bolivia, left a great impact on me. For 10 years, I wasted my Christianity. And this message came back to me as I was losing my job, losing my wife, losing my children. Bob spoke to me through a decade and said, be like a man, like a tree. And I started discipling my children. My daughter's in Africa now as a missionary. My son is at Tyndale learning to be a psychotherapist for Christians. And I'm active in discipleship because of Bob. Do not underestimate the power of the Lord to change a heart and change a life. Bob has no idea, I never told him, how much he impacted me and my family and those around us. He was a simple man, but don't underestimate the depth of Bob. Thank you, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. So remember, there's a reception, so give the family a chance to leave first, and then you can follow afterwards. Thank you.